Mark, give us some experience, strength, and hope, Mark.
I am Mark, and I'm an alcoholic. And I want to thank a few people tonight. I want to thank Haley for getting in touch with me and inviting me to speak tonight, and Suzanne for recommending me to her, and to Owen for giving me all of the login information to be part of the Al-Anon sandwich tonight. It's rather ironic, a couple of things. Haley got sober in Central Texas and moved to Contra Costa County. I got sober in Contra Costa County and recently moved to Central Texas. So that's how God works in my life. The other thing is that I come from a long line of alcoholics, grandparents, aunts and uncles, brothers, parents, and it was never once suggested that I attend Al-Anon. So this is a first for me, and I am thoroughly enjoying it. So a little bit about my background. You know, you hear a lot in AA meetings, that feeling of being different, that people don't understand you. I grew up in a home with a Jewish father and a Catholic mother. So I was already different than my friends and my classmates. I like to say that I was born guilty and raised guilty. Not that that made me an alcoholic, but it made me different. I always had a connection with God, with a higher power, because I spent my first 8 years of school in a private Catholic school with about 30 kids in the class. And all I ever wanted to do was fit in. After those 8 years, I went to a public high school with over 400 kids in the freshman class. And I felt absolutely overwhelmed, completely lost and full of fear. And I lived my life like that for quite some time. But in my sophomore year, I was introduced to alcohol and everything changed. I fell in with a group of people who had the same, I guess, fears and cares and concerns that I did. So I used alcohol to get rid of all that. I tried to make a connection with a higher power through nature, whether it was, I grew up in Santa Cruz County. So whether it was watching sunsets at the beach or hiking in the Santa Cruz Mountains or going skiing up in Tahoe, it was always trying to achieve some connection with nature, but I was always under the influence. You know, whoever made it to the bottom of the mountain the quickest didn't have to buy the beer. You know, that was the thing that motivated me. My consumption just increased after high school. You know, I started having blackouts, constant embarrassment, regret. I started crashing cars, ruined relationships, was being deceitful and lying to my friends and my family. And it just kept getting worse. And I couldn't figure out why. You know, I'm a product of the 60s, so I spent a lot of time in San Francisco going to concerts. And that's a perfect location for anything and everything. And that's where I was, anything and everything. By 1981, I was still trying to pursue a spiritual connection, And I talked to my father about converting to Judaism because I was looking for some cohesiveness in the family, some peace and serenity, you know, and serenity was mentioned by Owen in the introduction. And that's all I was looking for, peace and serenity. And I couldn't seem to find it. Sadly, my father dropped dead of a heart attack in the middle of my younger brother's graduation at Sonoma State in May of 1981. And from that day, for the next 12 years, I hated God. I wanted absolutely no contact with spirituality, religion, or anything to do with God. I was angry. I was confused. I was resentful. And myself and my two brothers and my mother tried to drink that pain and sadness and grief away, but it didn't work. And, you know, my younger brother and I started an annual pilgrimage to Mexico, which was basically a week or a 2 week drunk, you know, starting at the San Francisco airport, continuing the whole time we were on vacation and all the way home. But none of that worked to get rid of the feelings. And that's what I hated, was the feelings. I didn't know how to share them. I didn't know how to express them. I just didn't want to have them. And, you know, 1 year in Mexico, down in Cabo San Lucas, I was arrested for being drunk in public. That's very difficult to do in a drinking town, but I managed to do it. That tells you how drunk I was. And, you know, my brother didn't come looking for me. He, I guess he figured I was either having a good time or got lucky or whatever, but, you know, I was on my own spending the night in jail. 1 year he and I drank our way across Europe, you know, in search of peace and serenity. Couldn't find it there either. And that just continued. But in 1983, I was visiting my mother, Thanksgiving, and she looked at me and she said, "Mark, I'm ready." And what she meant was she was ready to get sober. She had packed a suitcase, and through the suggestion of a family member, I took her to a rehab over in Morgan Hill. And that was great because my mother needed it. My older brother, who had been in and out of jail, in and out of rehabs, in and out of programs, 2 years after my mother got sober, he got sober, you know, because he needed it. My attitude was that I was not as bad as them. And my younger brother and I had continued to travel together. And in February of 1993, I was visiting him up in Sonoma County, and we were looking at pictures of all of our vacations. And he said, "You know, Mark, I think we're alcoholics." And I said, "Speak for yourself," as I poured another glass of wine. And, you know, he's been sober since February of 93. Well, it took me another 6 months. And in August of that year, I was out riding motorcycle with a bunch of buddies. But I woke up that morning that we were going to get together, and I told myself, "I'm not going to drink today." And the first bar that we stopped at, I was drinking 7-Up. The second bar, I was drinking O'Doul's. The third bar, I was drinking Budweiser. And the last thing I remember is stepping off a bar stool at 5 o'clock. And by some miracle, I woke up at home in bed with my wife the next morning. And I thought, I can't do this anymore. And a feeling had come over me that I can't explain, but I realized that something or some power greater than me had been looking out for me that whole time. because I continued to put my life or myself in life-threatening situations. And I didn't drink for a week. And the following Saturday, I went to my first AA meeting in Pleasant Hill. And I raised my hand, and for the very first time, I introduced myself as an alcoholic. And I guess I felt some relief. I listened to the speaker that night, and I could relate to everything that he said. And I was given a copy of Living Sober, and I took it home and I read it from cover to cover. And I was amazed at the story, because it was a story of my life. And I got involved with Alcoholics Anonymous at the suggestion of the men that were at that meeting. And they suggested just a few simple things. Get a sponsor, work the steps, read the big book, get involved. And that's what I did. I got really involved in Alcoholics Anonymous to the point where my wife said, "What's the difference? I don't see you anymore, just like I didn't see you before. You go to meetings all the time." So I had to find balance in my life, because I'm one of those people who it's either one extreme or the other, all or nothing. So I had to find balance in my life and give time to my family. I had married a woman with two kids, so there were a lot of challenges there. Being a step parent is not an easy thing. And I found that I could not control stepkids. So, I think there needs to be a program for that. And I believe there is. It's called family counseling, because when I got sober, we started going to family counseling, and we went to individual counseling, and we went to couples counseling, because I wanted to do whatever was necessary to get the relationships back on track. And eventually they did. You know, my life changed. My family's life changed. My attitude changed. My work habits changed. And I knew it was going to be a long road to serenity and loss of all that anger and resentment that I held. The loss of my father, the pain and suffering, the acquisition of stepkids, you know, and a wife who wouldn't do what I suggested. There were a lot of things that were out of my control, and I had to accept that. You know, the things that I started to learn in Alcoholics Anonymous: acceptance, patience, tolerance, love, compassion, all those things that come naturally to some people, I had to learn in Alcoholics Anonymous. I got involved in service in the program. At a year sober, I got involved in hospitals and institutions and started carrying the message into juvenile hall and jails. And up until COVID, I had gone into Martinez Juvenile Hall for about 25 and a half years, probably longer than some of the employees there. But what a feeling of gratitude that is, to share your story with a budding young alcoholic, and hopefully they get the message. But, life just continued to change. It got better and better. And I knew that AA worked because I had seen my mother and my two brothers and a couple of relatives get sober. But at first I thought, I'm going to get my life back together and I'm going to fit AA into it. But after a short amount of time, I realized I had to live AA and fit my life into AA. And it has worked so much better that way. As I say, life got better. My wife trusted me. My stepson began to ask me for for help with schoolwork and with advice on certain things. At a year sober, my stepdaughter asked me to walk her down the aisle, not her biological father. You know, that's a miracle, because she saw me at my worst and asked me to give her away at her wedding. You know, these are things that can only happen with the help of a higher power and a program such as Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, another bit of God's sense of humor is I stopped traveling with my younger brother and started taking my wife to places like Mexico and Hawaii. And the first year I was sober, my wife and I went to Cabo San Lucas, the same town where I had been arrested, and went to an AA meeting at the Hacienda Hotel. And the Hacienda Hotel is the lobby bar where my younger brother and I used to drink. And there's an AA meeting there. I've been going to that same Hacienda group AA meeting for over 27 years. And, you know, I have home groups now in Mexico, in California, Northern California, Southern California, and in Hawaii that I go to on a regular basis. Because just like any other program, if you're a regular attendee, they get to know you and you get to know them. And you get to share your life with people that you would never have met before, you know. So life got better, life got different, and life changed. And I continued to build my spiritual life, that peace and serenity that I was always searching for began to happen. But what also happened was in 2001, just before we were ready to leave to be on vacation with my daughter and her family, we found out my wife had breast cancer. So I was there for her through surgery, through chemo, through reconstructive surgery, and everything that she had to go through. In the meantime, we found out that my mother, who had moved to Palm Springs, had cancer. And I spent a month in Palm Springs going to her home group with her. And sadly, she passed away in 2006. And the morning she passed away, I went to her home group and picked up a 23-year chip for her. You know, she was an example to me. Unfortunately, my wife's cancer came back. And a couple years later, she passed away. And the first thing I did was go to my regular Saturday morning meeting and shared what was going on with me, shared what had happened, shared my feelings with the people who saw me on a regular basis. And I got even more involved in the program with the guys that I ride motorcycle with, going to clean and sober motorcycle events, going to more conventions. I've been fortunate enough to go to two international conventions in San Antonio and Atlanta. And, you know, to hear 60,000 people say the Serenity Prayer, if that doesn't get to you, I don't know what will. You know, I wasn't looking for another relationship, but God had a different plan. And after coming home from the convention in Honolulu in 2010, I ran into a woman who I had met over 25 years ago at my Saturday morning home group. And she had recently lost her father. We went to coffee and we sat and talked about how we were dealing with the feelings and the emotions. And we continued to meet and talk. And I invited her to some of those conventions. I invited her to some of those clean and sober motorcycle events. And she took me up on the offer. And that friendship turned to love. She moved in with me. And in 2014, we were married on the beach in Hawaii at one of the conventions. You know, that's how God works in my life. Those are the miracles that happen. when you pursue a sober life, when you pursue a life of peace and serenity. You know, we built a home together the last 7 years or so in Pleasant Hill, but we had always been talking about relocating, whether it was going to be the Pacific Northwest or whether it was going to be Central Texas or Arizona. We didn't quite know, but we made a trip out here to Central Texas last year and looked at a lot of locations, a lot of homes, a lot of property. And we decided on Temple, Texas. And I think one of the reasons is my wife watches a lot of HGTV. And so we hooked up with Magnolia Realty and bought a beautiful home, moved out here in at the end of January, just in time for the Arctic storm. We had 10 days of beautiful mid-70s weather, and then it dropped. And I believe if it were not for my my connection with a higher power, I had already been going to Zoom meetings here in Central Texas as of last year and gotten to know people here in the area. And what a friendly group they are. You know, we're currently dealing with the insurance company, with water mitigation, with contractors, with a plumber. Anything that could have gone wrong went wrong. We had pipes burst in the attic and we had water coming from places it shouldn't be coming from. But the fact that my wife and I get up every morning, we read, we pray together, and we discuss what's really going on. We discuss our feelings with each other. And we support each other. It makes all the difference in my sobriety, and it makes all the difference in our relationship. And, you know, over the last 27 and a half years, I have learned to put my trust and faith in a higher power and not try to change situations or the people that are involved in those situations. And I think I have finally achieved peace and serenity. So thank you all for being part of my life tonight.
Thank you very much, Mark. Thank you.